you're frustrated at your work, you're driving back home, and you're like, man, like, I don't really like this 9 to 5. I want the flexibility to be able to go play baseball with my son, hang out with my wife, take her out on dates whenever I want. And you listen to Sean's podcast and you saw like 5 people who got to financial independence retiring early by investing in this asset class. We see a lot of them log into AirDNA, create a profile, and being like, okay, let's start looking at markets.
Hi, I'm
Wyatt.
And I'm Grace.
And you're listening to Our Dad and your host of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. I'm your host, Sean Moore, and we're back with our Experts Corner interviews that we post every single Friday for you guys to listen in to some of the biggest and best experts in the short-term rental world. And I've got the absolute pleasure of having on an amazing guest, and I feel like the conversation is should have already happened. We've got the CEO and of both AirDNA and Uplisting, Rohit Biswada. Rohit, I'm super excited about this conversation, my man. I feel like you guys are absolutely the gold standard when it comes to data. There's no secret to my audience that I love AirDNA, and we trust it more than any other platform out there. Been using it a long time, and so you and I are long past due for a conversation on this podcast.
And Sean, we're super grateful for your partnership. We worked closely together. You've been a big part in how we built our products. So excited to actually get together here.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. And so, Rohit, where are you based out of? Because I know AirDNA, you guys have a definite presence over in the Europe area, and then we've got the Denver market is I think where a lot of you are based as well. Are you US based? Or are you over in?
Yes, sir. Yes, yeah. Sir. I'm based in New York City. So the founders were based in Denver and Barcelona. So we built out offices in Denver and Barcelona. We have. I would say a third and a third. So like a third in Denver, a third in Barcelona, and a third fully remote. I happen to be one of the fully remote folks. We're building out an office in New York City. We've hired a bunch of folks there. So excited to hopefully have a presence in the middle as well.
Yeah, awesome. Well, when it comes to investing, and obviously short-term rentals have become very mainstream over the last few years, right? I bought my first short-term rental back in 2006 was when I dipped my toes into this game, and the AirDNAs of the world, the Airbnbs of the world weren't even around back then, right? And so it was kind of the Wild West, if you will, when we were kind of diving into this game, and we've had the pleasure of watching it grow up, and it has been really, really fun as an investor in this space and somebody who loves this asset class to be able to see the tools and the resources that we're able to tap into, and AirDNA really being probably one of the first that I was really, really excited about as an investor. And when you guys started really coming on the scenes and building out a product that has been helping so many investors, ourselves included, walk into this game with some actual numbers, with some actual data. As an investor, you know, you're always trying to make the best decisions. No data is perfect, and no underwriting process is absolutely perfect. There's always going to be some margin for error there. And you guys have really helped us and really helped a lot of investors across the world, really, to be able to have some tangible data that we can put together and say, yeah, I can make some kind of predictable decisions here. And I think that, you know, one, I want to start with that because one of the biggest questions we always get is how do you feel like the data is accurate? Like how accurate is it? Like, is it, and I think you and I would both agree, and you guys go to great lengths to make sure that the data is clean as possible, right? But I always say, hey, listen, you might have 5 or 10% of the properties on the top end and 5 or 10% of the properties on the bottom end that are misreporting. But when you have a large enough data set, which you guys allow us to capture, we're able to make some really good investing decisions. And it's not easy to get. I think people think that those numbers and that data is cheaper and easier to get than it actually is. There's a lot that goes into making sure you've got some clean data.
That's exactly right, Sean. So if you think about the end product that most of our customers see, it's you enter an address, you get a revenue estimate for what the address can sort of make. But there's a lot that goes into cooking that up. There's scraping infrastructure, there is truth set data, combining that with data science models and complex data science models to make sure we can accurately predict when you, Sean, are blocking a home for a personal visit versus when you, Sean, are actually have a direct booking and or a booking on one of the 3 OTAs.
Yeah.
And what we've done at AirDNA over the past year is, if you look across our data science capabilities, we've hired really good talent to actually take the latest and greatest in what's happening in machine learning and sort of build these models to be state of the art. And then we also have so many connected listings with hosts connecting their properties for TruthSet data. So we're training the models on that to be able to actually come to you, Sean, and say like, hey, if you have a home in Salt Lake City, if you actually made about $100, we can get as accurate there as possible on the get-go. But to give more of that ownership to you, Sean, as the user, we launched a new product this year called Rentalizer 2.0. It's a classic Rentalizer, but with customizations. So yep. Instead of us just giving you a blanket number and saying like, hey, for your address, you made $150,000, which you may or may not agree with, we are now having two different factors in there. One, we allow you to customize the comps that go into sort of that calculus. So you can go in around your area being like, hey, this home has a hot tub, this home has a view, this home has a pickleball yeah. court, pick those three or four comps, and then that goes into the calculation alongside everything else that we have cooking, and then we get a more accurate number. And we've also attached like sort of like if you're trying to learn Spanish and you want Duolingo, and it sort of like allows you to gamify the experience, yeah. we've added what is called a confidence score. It's a probabilistic score that then tells you like, hey, based on the properties you've picked, we believe this is a low, medium, or high in terms of accuracy. So you get very close to what you think that in terms of accuracy. That's on a property level address-based sort of search. If you take a step back and you're like, okay, I don't know the exact address. I want to understand more broadly in terms of a market if the trends are right. Unlike other data providers, Sean, our data is used by hedge funds who invest in OTAs. Our data is used by professional grade investors who are trading in the space, such as yourself, and they need very accurate market, sub-market level data. And what we've done with our product is expose that professional grade data to the 1 to 5 small host investors, if you may. And that's where our market is. And that's what we're trying to do. So because a hedge fund values even a small 1 basis point yeah. delta in markets, we have to get extremely accurate with that information. And if you look at the last 4 or 5 earnings calls, we've been very close to like predicting what that projection is. So like that's sort of our gold standard of like why we focus on market sub-market score.
Yeah, and I think it's important. I mean, you and I don't need to get too deep into the weeds of exactly where all the, you know, we'll leave that to all the data scientists, right? And yeah, the, you know, right. On what they're doing. But I think it's important to mention because we see that also. We cross-check. I mean, we've had the opportunity now to be a part of thousands of acquisitions and to be able to see the front-end projections on our underwriting versus the back-end actual performance and be able to cross-check that across many, many properties. And we average about a 3%, within 3% of our projections to actuals. And that's because of it, the data we're getting from AirDNA and being able to use that for our underwriting and being able to put that together and, you know, and look at the things that we feel are important, right? You know, there's a lot of things that even AirDNA provides that I don't really pay too close attention right. to because, you know, you guys provide a lot of data. And I think that's your job is to say, hey, listen, we're going to try to give you as much as we can. And then you decide as an investor what pieces of that you want to put together. And that's what we do. We extract the pieces that are important to us, put it into our underwriting pro formas, and then be able to project. And when you're, you know, if you're an investor and you're making investment decisions, if I can predict within 3 to 4% of what my actuals are going to be, I can make pretty good decisions. And that's exactly where it comes down to.
Yeah. And I'm in the process of buying a short-term rental right now. And I've been using AirDNA to do that. And it's the same thing. Like I have a medium, high, low projection for where I think revenue will be. And obviously with comp sets and customizations and market scores, like that's sort of how I'm getting there. So fully hope that that's where it shakes out.
Yeah. Yeah. I know that you've got the best data behind you. So, you know, and it's interesting to, I started our conversation there because we live in a world right now where the veil of entry into software development is about as low as it's ever been. And everybody has a tool that looks really, really good on the front end. In fact, we get approached by them all the time, as you can probably imagine. And, we're very slow to adopt things because these are very important decisions for us. And in fact, I also look and understand on the back end how expensive and how painstaking it is to get the right data and scrape it and clean it and making sure that we're being able to recognize some of the things. Because even early on in AirDNA, there was, I remember even probably maybe 4 years ago, and I would say, hey, listen, if a home has a lot of owner usage, it may show with higher revenue than it does, you know, than it actually has, because that owner's using it a lot. And sometimes it recognizes it as a stay. That doesn't happen anymore. So you guys continue to clean it up and continue to make it better and more accurate. And I see a lot of tools out there on, you know, on the market, and again, get approached by a lot of them. We get to see the back end of a lot of them, and it's not even close to what we would like, what we can have. Our confidence level is not even close, I should say, in some of those other tools versus what you guys are putting out there. It's very similar in our business. You guys have more resources than everybody else out there, frankly. Like, right.
That's exactly right, Sean. Like, what I always nudge people is, if someone on Twitter recommends a stock, you're not just going to go buy it just because it's a nice headline. You'll actually do some diligence. You do some research. Similarly, look at the companies putting out data out there. We have the largest team of data scientists, most well-qualified, the data engineering team. So we're putting a ton of effort. And the reason I mentioned the enterprise-level buyers, such as like sophisticated buyers, such as yourself, as well as the hedge funds and the professional industries, is if they are trusting this as one of the inputs for their underwriting efforts, in order to win their trust, their hearts and minds, we have to put a ton of cleanup. And we cannot come to you with a projection that factors in owner stays. So if that's the case, and it's not just that, even like you said about acquisitions and M&A, so many private equity firms are buying these vacation rental manager companies. They are trying to like underwrite the revenue of these professional managers and seeing sort of what they're doing. And they also use the data to try and underwrite that. And the feedback we've been getting is we are within that 3-5% range of what the earnings were. So if that's the gold standard for where underwriting is going and happening, we want to bring that same level of granularity for the everyday users. And Sean, for me, one of the things, my background, I come from Uber. And at Uber, one of the things that drove a lot of us was we were creating flexibility of earnings for people in the gig economy that otherwise didn't have. Like, one thing is making transportation as reliable as running water, like making it easy for people to go from A to B. But the thing that appealed to most of us working at Uber and helping scale Uber was actually helping the drivers and like sort of like giving them opportunities to earn flexible income. The thing that attracted me to work at AirDNA most was the ability to go, like when I went on one of these conferences, it is nurses, firefighters, doctors were wanting some flexibility, single moms, dads who want to be there for their families and have flexibility. So like that is, for us, that's the mission we go after is, okay, can we truly democratize short-term rental investing? And can we bring professional-grade data in a format that's digestible for the user that doesn't really spend all day long reading charts? Like, can we make it fun and easy for you to go in, enter an address, pick a bunch of comps, understand how the values, how that potential earning potential sort of impacts your ability to underwrite and sort of get that flexibility? And when you go to some of these conferences, when you meet some of the users at these gatherings, you build that empathy for like, okay, man, this is the user. This is how they understand the data. I could have 100 charts out there, but they might want 4 or 5 data points that they need to trust. And that needs to be accurate. So that's sort of what drives us from a mission basis to make sure we continue to not just be that gold standard, but also democratize investing. And that the only way that can happen, Sean, you do a great job of this, is you actually help bridge that crawl, walk, run process. You're like, okay, don't get overwhelmed in the idea of like these real estate terms, these investing terms, these tax loopholes. Let's start at the basics, figure out which market do you want to invest in, figure out sort of how much you could potentially earn, figure out your operating expenses, figure out your margin, and then figure out sort of what the overall return is. And you do a fantastic job of doing that through your podcast, doing that through your platform, doing that through your partnerships with folks like us, and helping us build those products. And that's exactly what we hope to do with software as well.
No, I appreciate you saying that. And I'm so glad you went there too, Rohit, because it was one of those things that is, this is, in my opinion, always going to stay a mom and pop business. As big of an asset class as it is, as much money is spent in it, it's very difficult for those institutional type investors to go place, you know, $50 million in single family homes. It's really hard because every one of these short term rentals is such a unique experience and they're not really built for that. They can go buy portfolios, but right now there's not a lot of people who have actually built portfolios for these private equity firms to buy. So how do they enter? They go in and buy property management companies, and they go in and buy, you know, software companies, and they go enter into the space in a different way. But the actual investor is going to be, for a long period of time, I believe, very much mom and pop investors. And so you guys are making enterprise level data tools available for mom and pop type investors. And where normally there wouldn't be a huge, the ability for, the firefighter who's going and buying a second home to really, he's not trained in statistics and analytics and all of that stuff. And, and so you've made it to where it is, like you said, digestible, and you've got a nice user interface. It really hits on the key data points that, most investors are going to like to see. But at the end of the day, it's going to be a mom and pop business. And that's where I love where you understand both sides of it. Right. You obviously understand the enterprise level side of it. You understand, the institutional money side of it. You guys operate in that world as well. Like when you mentioned the hedge funds and stuff like that. But at the end of the day, the end user for these products is going to be mom and pop investors. And I think that's where this industry is going to stay for a long time.
That's exactly right, Sean. Like when we think about our core customer, the biggest customer base we solve for, it is that mom and pop investor. And we always ask ourselves, what is their current software experience? They are looking for a home on Zillow. It is, whether some people may like it or might not, Redfin, Zillow, whichever sort of real estate portal they're using, it's a seamless experience. You go to a map, you look at a home, you see what the home is priced for. And once they buy the home, they're using Airbnb. So if those are the two bookends of sort of like the software experience, you cannot have a data dump of charts in terms of like, process. So we need to have a similar experience. And that's sort of what we're building at AirDNA is, okay, you enter an address, you drop a link, we tell you exactly what you can make. You can customize that based on filtering for comps, and you sort of get an output and simplifying the experience to give you the answer and certainty as quickly as possible.
Yeah, I love it. And I will tell you, when the private equity group came in and made the announcement that they were, buying AirDNA and partnering with them and investing in them, I always got nervous when that happens, because I've been on both sides of the coin where I've had friends that have had their companies purchased by private equity, and it's just a means to just start turning that company. Like, let's sell it every 3 years and re-up and just try to trim everything down, show the profits. That has not been my experience with since that happened at AirDNA. It feels like the resources came in and you doubled down on trying to provide better and better service, better products. I mean, the product just continues to get better and better. And ultimately, more accurate, but even more affordable for the end user to be able to go to say, hey, listen, there's no reason not to have this in everybody's arsenal on a monthly basis, every single, like whether you're in acquisition mode or whether you're in just watching the market mode or whether you're operating mode, right? And you guys have done a really good job of, doubling down on those resources to just stay ahead of the game. And so, I commend you for that, because I was nervous about it. I was thinking, the jury's out here. At least Sean's jury is out. Let's see how this goes. And you guys have done an amazing job of it, because I was nervous when it happened.
No, thank you, Sean. And that's exactly how we feel as well. I think we want to make it more accessible for the customers. We want to make it one of the best places for employees to work. We want to attract, again, coming back to you speak about like there's so many software. It's easier than ever to enter software with all the AI development that's happening. So we at AirDNA want to be the number one place for the smartest people in software to work. And if that's the loftiest ambition for us, then we need to ensure we're growing, we're building the right products, we're building the best products. And if you look at, I would go to bat on the fact that our employee base is probably one of the best in the industry for building software products. So we're very excited to continue to invest in people, continue to invest in products for the mom and pop investor and operator in the industry.
Yeah. And I fully believe, just from the sideline looking in and being a user and a big supporter ourselves, and because we rely on that tool so much, you guys have done an amazing job of that and continue to move it forward and be, like Absolutely. You said, a one-stop shop. You guys are becoming now not only the front-end data, but also it's like, hey, what can we help with on operations? We feel like we've got a lot of these, we got a lot of tools, we got a lot of great people. Let's start helping on the operational side. So let's transition over to kind of those next moves and the next steps in helping the investors really manage those properties and really continue to operate at a high level.
And Sean, that's exactly right. What we, in order to pursue our desire to be that single-threaded platform across your entire journey, from when you were a curious Ben looking at potential markets, like you're frustrated at your work, you're driving back home, and you're like, man, like, I don't really like this 9-to-5. I want the flexibility to be able to go play baseball with my son, hang out with my wife, take her out on dates whenever I want. And you listen to Sean's podcast and you saw like 5 people who got to financial independence retiring early by investing in this asset class. We see a lot of them log into AirDNA, create a profile and being like, okay, let's start looking at markets. A month in, a month and a half in, they're like, okay, we're finally ready to actually transact. We have the comfort we need. Like, so we talk about being very early on in the journey when we see people, to give you some stats, if there's about 35, 40,000 listings every given month that come on Airbnb, upstream of that, if there's 100,000 people sort of looking at homes to potentially list it on Airbnb, we see all of that traffic early on. Like, and we joke around saying we cast them so early in their journey of like being curious about short-term rentals. We would love to have, and we know where they're underwriting, what they're underwriting, what they think they're going to make. But once you buy that house, Sean, it's a very different story. You have to actually execute on the potential amenities you thought you would put in there, the potential differentiators you thought you would put in there. Reviews start mattering, hospitality and operations start mattering, and it's a very different game than underwriting just using data. So we were like, okay, how can we continue to be a part of that journey where we gave them a projection in terms of you can make $120,000 a year? How do we ensure we continue to invest in tools and software tools to do that? So one of the things we did was, can we invest in a PMS? Because a big thing we've seen with, and Sean, you preach this to most of your base, is like going multi-channel is helpful, like having variable pricing is helpful. So we invested in a PMS. We bought a PMS called Uplisting. Enterprise-grade PMS, and we've, over the past year, invested massively in the tech stability, in the scalability, in the sort of integrations, and now we're doubling down on AI messaging, on data-driven decision-making within a PMS to now take all the power of our data with the power of our engineering talent and building solutions for the individual host and the small operators to use a PMS to make more money or make the projections they said they would. So that's one, is in uplisting. The second thing we've done is we've also sort of backed the truck up to invest in AirDNA host tools. So we've built out performance benchmarking where you can now connect your listing and you can see sort of how you're performing. You can pick a set of competitors. You can see how you're performing against those competitors and sort of get sort of established some triggers. If you may like, hey, like, let me know if they lower their price. Let me know if they change their amenities. Let me know if something happens. Let me know if a new listing pops up in my market. Let me know what's going on. So like, sort of like the control panel for performance benchmarking against your competitors, having a single pane with a competitive calendar. Like Sean, early on, if you remember, you've been in this game for 2006. For the last 10 plus years, most people will pick their comps, take screenshots, understand and try and measure how pricing is happening, try and like do a lot of that work. And then it goes so far from where they were, which is like, hey, they want financial independence. They want to not actively work on this day in and day out. With where software is, this should be seamless. So that's what we're trying to build with host solutions, is can we give them a single pane of operations, a single operating system for all their short-term rental needs from acquisition to operating. And so uplisting is the first piece of that vision. Investing in host tools is the second piece. And we're just getting started.
Yeah, I'm really excited to see where it goes. And it's because that's what nobody wants, a second job, right? Nobody wants to, we got, like you said, we always preach lifestyle financial freedom. And part of that lifestyle freedom is not, you know, bogging yourself down with a whole bunch of operations on a game that you're just trying to figure out, right? And you're right. You meet them kind of on the front end of that journey. And they're very excited. Everybody's just seeing the, you know, the big picture at the end. But then you dive into that journey and all of a sudden you're like, man, this road is a little bumpier than I thought it was going to be. There's a few dragons around the corner. And the more tools that we have as investors, the easier that road can become and the more streamlined it can become, because a lot of the tools, what it does is it forces you into best practices too, right? Because and a lot of these, like I said, they're mom and pop investors that have maybe never done this before. Like our goal of Odyssey is to help people along that journey. But obviously, we don't help everybody who's investing in short-term rentals. And so if they can, and we always want the bar to be raised across the entire industry. Like I always tell people, in fact, I was just on another podcast and we were talking about this and saying, what you're at the top of so many different markets. You know, we've got the number one property in our Vodacy portfolio in multiple markets across the US. And people are like, well, what, you know, are you worried that somebody's going to come knock you off? I said, well, you hope somebody knocks you off, because what it does is it continues to raise the bar. I had a property that I set the high water mark in Cherry Log, Georgia, and we became the number one property in that market in 2023. And since then, in 2025 right now, when you look, we're 18 months since I hit the high water mark. The high water mark now has been raised by almost $40,000 gross every single year. I hit the high water mark at like 106. Now it's at like 150. And I'm like, but that's great, because now I didn't stay at 106 because the high water mark rose, we rose with it. And so like a rising tide, you know, floats all boats, they say. And so when you guys are coming out and investing into tools to help hosts actually hit their projections, actually follow some best practices, actually show them that actually things maybe we should be tracking, and they might not have even thought about, right? You don't know what you don't know sometimes when you walk into a game, but when you're able to help develop that and really develop an industry, it's a pretty fun process to be a part of. And it's pretty fun to watch from the sidelines what you guys are doing, but also being able to tap into those tools as investors, because we all can get better every single day. And so it's exciting to hear that you guys are doubling down on that, on those types of tools as well, because you've done such a great job on the front end, the data, the analytics, and all those different things that help us make great decisions. We use them all the time. A lot of my members are like, hey, Kayshawn, I'm done with acquisition. I don't need RD&A anymore. And I say, no, you need it the whole time. I run my numbers every single month, and I match them against the market. I match them against my competitors. I'm looking at that stuff all the time. But what you're going to do is integrate that into a system that's also helping them deliver a really great experience, because, this ultimately is a business. Whether you're going to manage your own properties, hire a management company, having it and run like a business, even though we say it's mom and pop, there's a lot of money being spent. And there's, you know, the more and more professional you can become, the better you're going to be able to get your unfair share of that business and that dollar that the consumer's spending out there.
That's exactly right, Sean. And like one of the, to make it tactical, let's say I'm in the process of buying a home on Long Island. Let's take your high water mark example. If supply growth in the overall market is slowing down, automatically that's a rising boat lifts all tides. Yeah. If you have the best amenitized property in the market, and there's very few who are at that range, and that, let's say three or four more pop up to try and copy you, now you automatically, because there's not enough supply coming up, there's not enough like new copycats popping up, you now have increased that bar on sort of like where the threshold is. So looking at the market charts, looking at the overall trends, allow you to sort of understand where are trends going, so you can accordingly set expectations for sort of what you can make on the revenue front. And to give you a full cycle experience of where this can go and where we imagine our operating system to go, when you enter an address and you're like, okay, what do you think I can make? We are like, okay, you can make $120,000, Sean, based on 5-6 comps. When you were acquiring, you looked at those comps, you may have looked at the mood of like what the Airbnb is trying to go for, what amenities there are, sort of like what they're, maybe you've read some reviews to understand sort of how they do the hospitality of it, but that's front and center when you're acquiring. Once you acquired, you get into the cost of like, okay, like what amenities are actually put in there? What is the overall mood of what I'm trying to like demonstrate in the pictures, in the sort of listing details? Are you continuously optimizing that? Are you tracking with the market? Fortunately for AirDNA, we have 11 plus years of data on image progression, on listing progression, on detail progression, on pricing progression. So what we're hoping to build in the long term is that, hey, when you were underwriting your property, we knew exactly who you benchmarked against. We understood the mood. We understood their true differentiation based on their reviews, based on their listing details, based on their images. We can combine all of that and say like, here's what was the underwriting criteria, not just the number, but also like the overall operational feel. Yeah. Now you've gone live. We now have you connected across multiple channels. Yeah. Are you connected across multiple channels? Yes. Are you using dynamic pricing? Yes. Check. Is your operating rhythm the same as what you underwrote against? Like, are your images, now that we see your images post-acquisition, are they matching your comp sets? Are they evolving against the comp sets? Are your amenities evolving against the comp sets? Are your listings and your listing optimization in terms of like how you're proposing that to the market, progressing against the markets? Are your reviews performing as better or worse than the competitors? So all of that factored in together in a way where you don't have to do that work, but our agents are doing that work for you, our AI models are doing that work for you, and it's surfacing that to you in a digestible way, whether it's an email, whether it is a digest a week, whether it is you log in and you look at a single pane to understand how you're evolving against the market. That's where we hope to go, is making it seamless, just like a Robinhood dashboard for your stock performance is sort of where we want to get to longer term, is making sure you are tracking against the market. Like, otherwise, the joke I say is like, hey, you could have a stock that's growing 30%, but if the S&P 500 is growing 150%, you're not really growing.
You're not good.
So every growth, every earning is as a relative of what, and that's sort of where, as a percentage of what, and that's sort of where we're trying to get to as a business.
I love it. So that's super exciting for me to hear, because that's not talked about enough in this space. Is okay, here's my revenue projections, and we're going to say, like, we'll keep it that 120 range that we were talking about. But the market itself has, on a three bed, let's say it's a three bed and we project it at 120, the market itself probably has a revenue range of, you know, 50,000 to 150, let's say, and we project it at 120. Well, it's going to take certain things to get to the 120. And let's say somebody's like, well, I'm operating at 80. And they're leaving 40,000 on the table, and we look at it. And if you've got tools that can tell you, we do this manually all the time, where
it's like diagnosis, right? You go to a doctor and you're like, I don't know why. Yeah. And software should be able to, with data and with expertise, be able to do that for you. Basically, like, enter your listing and we will tell you exactly where you're missing against the highest performers, the middle performers, and the low performers.
Yeah.
And so give you like a symptom list of like, okay, here's what you need to go fix.
And it's a great thing. We do this again on a manual basis. I just did one this morning. One of our members is like, hey, listen, I'm operating right here. You're saying I've got the potential in this market to hit here, but that delta happens to be about $45,000 annually. But he's going to have to invest. Probably because he's going to have to invest in some amenities. He's going to have to invest in some different mood set up with artwork and some different furnishing accessories, right? So it's not all. So he's having to make that decision of saying, okay, I'm going to invest $75,000 to make an extra $45,000 a year. If he didn't know that extra $45,000 a year, that $75,000 is a pretty big pill to swallow. But when you're saying, man, I can spend 40 or 75 and get 45, I'm making more than 50% return on that investment. You know, I'm going to get paid back in, less than 2 years, I'll get paid back 100%, and I'm riding that out. I mean, then it makes it easier decision, right? And sometimes we see the exact opposite. Maybe you're leaving 10,000 on the table and it's going to take you 80 to get that 10. Might not be as attractive, right? I might not be that interested to have an 8-year payback on my $80,000 investment, right?
And that's exactly right.
Yeah, and that's, I'm super excited to see that come out. Is that going to be in the property management software that you guys already have, or is that going to be on the next one that's going to be coming out?
We're trying to build a combination. We're trying to build some functionality of that in the host tool, some functionality of that in the PMS. So TBD. My product team's going to probably kill me for.
I know. I was right when I asked the question. I already know. I'm like, you know what? That's not even a fair question, because when I start asking, when somebody has a vision and you start talking about the vision, and it's like, okay, when are we going to have it? Right.
That's exactly. And Sean, I was just trying to stitch together where we see.
Yeah.
AirDNA's right to exist as a business is our access to data, 10 plus years of 10 million plus listings across the world. And the best way we can be a shepherd, just like you guys are to the mom and pop investors, is using data to help them make data-driven decisions.
Yeah.
There's a nuance where we don't want them to like spend a lot of their time trying to do the nitty-gritty detailed diligence themselves. We want to surface that to them in a way where it's just intuitive, easy, and magical. And that's sort of the software experience we're going for, is like, give us your listing, we'll tell you what's wrong. Give us your address, we'll tell you how much you can make.
Yeah.
And we'll give you all the software tools you need to actually achieve what we said you need to achieve. So sort of like at the start, at the diagnosis, at the end, and tools along the way to sort of help you like achieve that.
Love it. I love it. And I love seeing you guys continue to grow and expand and reinvest in it and just staying. I mean, just continue to stay what I continue to say is the gold standard in the data game in our world. I'm always, as a user, appreciate it, because, you know, we make those database back decisions and need to use that stuff to stay on top of our game as well. And so I'm always appreciative when you're taken that side of the game serious. And I don't mean anything when I say anything derogatory about it, any other companies coming out there or anything else. It's not, you just have the benefit of being around for longer. You have more money and resources and time and in the game and experience and mistakes and everything that goes along with that to continue to, you know, you're just further down the road and so much further down the road. And I say that with our group all the time. I think there's amazing coaches out there, amazing people that mean well, but they haven't been in it since 2006. They haven't, you know, they haven't had the bumps and the bruises that we've seen. And it's, and the resources that we have are just second to none. It's same as AirDNA. The resources you guys have, there's really nobody out there that has it. And it allows you guys to stay very, very far ahead of the game, but also have such an accurate finger on the pulse of what's going on in the industry to help us individual investors, us mom and pop investors, be able to have access to that type of information for us to make those types of decisions too is absolutely huge for us to be able to leverage that kind of stuff. So I appreciate it. And I'm excited, Sean, to see you continue.
You mentioned this for your high water property. Competition lifts all boats. So like, yes. I love copycats. I love competition just because
for sure.
It pushes us to bring our A game. And at the end of the day, we are all in the business of servicing the individual mom and pop investor. And if healthy competition allows us to put a better product out there that's easier and simpler and more affordable for the everyday user to get comfortable around what is probably one of the riskier investments they will make in their life and get comfort around that, no brainer. Like, bring in more. Like, more for copycats, sure. Better.
Yeah, exactly. We say that all the time. I grew up playing sports, and there was nothing worse than playing a blowout game. Somebody that just wasn't in, you know, the only way we grew, the only way we got better was playing against the best in the business, right? And so you want to have those other people that continue to push us. I mean, I know you guys are probably pretty friendly with a lot of your competitors. We are as well. And it's like, we're super competitive. Like, we want to beat each other, but we're also like, we know that we need each other to help continue to raise the bar, right? Which is always really good for the consumer.
And it's also good for all of us, is like you serving the industry, us serving the industry. It is a competitive, like it is very, not just hard for us. It's also hard for the individual investor. Like Like, at the end of the day, if you can make their life easy, hands down, like, we're all servicing that. So that's, it's good.
Awesome. Rohit, this has been awesome. I appreciate the conversation. I think we could talk for a lot longer than we allocated on both of our schedules. And so I appreciate you joining me. This has been a fun conversation. Those of you that listen to these conversations, I know how valuable they are. You give us that feedback all the time, and we know how valuable your time is, and we do appreciate you spending it with us. And so, as a favor, at the end of every single episode, I ask you two favors. The first one is, if you like the show, please share it. We don't run sponsorships or ads or anything else on these shows. All we do is have great conversations that we hope you enjoy, learn, and hopefully walk into this game with your eyes wide open and avoid some mistakes, maybe accelerate some of your successes. And if you know somebody else who would like to be part of these conversations, share the show. Those things help us, and we very much appreciate it. And the final, most important thing I ask you at the end of every episode, pick that one thing you can do today, start building that life you don't want to take a vacation from. Cheers, my friends.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of the Vacation Rental Revolution podcast. Share this with other people you think need to hear about it. And don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review. Hey, Grace, is there a website?
Yes! For more amazing content and expert advice, visit Vodacy.com.
Thanks for listening, and we'll see you on the next episode.